Hi guys, welcome to Pod the Bus episode 7. We are starting off with our Serie A season in review, and today we are joined by Rohit, who is an AC Milan fan, Ganesh, who is from Chennai and he is an AS Roma fan, and Sriram, who watches Serie A and supports all teams, and he can be considered as a neutral today. So hey guys, welcome to the pod firstly. And
thank you for having.
And thanks today, let's start with Sriram today. Sriram, Juventus' nine-year winning streak is finally ended, and we have a new champion, Inter Milan. So, what do you think? Is it safe to say that Serie A has become competitive again?
Yes. It didn't become competitive all of a sudden. It was always competitive. So that notion has to change first of all with the people. It's not like Juventus started as title winners on the first week for the last 9 years. Every title that they won for 9 years, they have earned it by fighting for 35-36 weeks. Like, none of those titles were decided 2-3 months in advance. Like, it all went almost to the 36th or 37th game. So there were competitive seasons even in the 9 year run. So it's become like other teams have put a little more value on the points that they give away now. So yes, in that sense, it has become more competitive. But from a neutral perspective, it was always like it wasn't one-sided, if that is what you were meaning to ask, if it becomes suddenly competitive.
And Rohit, AC Milan has finally qualified for the UCL after 7 years. How is the feeling?
Oh, it's a great feeling. I mean, we always used to be a UCL team more than an Italian league team. We are the ones with the most Champions League from Italy. So, I mean, going back to Champions League is a great feeling. And hopefully we can strengthen again to reach places in the Champions League.
That's great to hear. And Ganesh, Jose Mourinho is going to take up as the gaffer from the next season. How do you feel about that?
Hi. Yes. Actually, it was totally unexpected. I think everyone would acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And because like the Friedkin's group, since they have taken over, I mean, they had the initial trust on Fonseca. But as time went on, like, they came to know the downfall, and it's better to move on. And the transfer, the manager, Jose Mourinho, I mean, no one had their name, actually. Even the media, they kept on guessing different names. Like, we were linked to Sarri, and one more manager, but yeah, but it was all of a sudden we have announced Jose Mourinho. It's all like because of the Portuguese link. So Thiago Pinto is our DS, director of sports, right? So yep. he has done a very good job, like bringing on Jose Mourinho, which I believe we have been lacking a big game mentality. So we have been doing not so good during the big games like against Juventus or against any top six ranking club. So I hope like Jose Mourinho is the right man for us, and like I'm hoping for a positive season.
Well, let's hope for the positivity. And with that, let's move on to our very first category that we discussed today. So who, according to you, will be the player of the season, Ganesh?
Okay. So, I mean, you were referring to the previous season, right?
2020-21.
Okay. So, for me, it is Mkhitaryan. So, he has done exceptionally well, except for some injuries. So, if you look at Fonseca's system, and we usually play, the attack will be usually through the wings. And Yeah, whenever Mkhitaryan played, he used to bring us more goals, and he, you know, used his all during all the match. And whenever he had any injury, we were actually struggling to score more goals. And yeah, along actually, like, there are few other players actually who is main to the Fonseca system. First one is Mkhitaryan, and second one is Spinazzola. From the wing. So he is actually the main attacking threat actually for any team, any opponent. So like he can actually dribble through many players over the wings, and he has actually improved a lot since transfer to Roma. So like combination of like Spinazzola and Mkhitaryan is what I would say. They are the, I would rate them on the same level, but since Mkhitaryan has more goals to him and more assists, like first Mkhitaryan, then Spinazzola.
So what about you, Sriram?
Okay, is this question like for overall Serie A or for a single particular team?
Overall Serie A. The whole pod is about the like Serie A, like not a particular team.
Okay, player of the season for entire Serie A.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, in terms of the weightage that they add to their teams and like how much they would lag if they weren't present, on that basis, like there are two names. One is like prominent, and he deservedly got awarded yesterday the same thing. It's a Romelu Lukaku. So obviously Inter wouldn't be like wherever they are now if they took just that one guy out of their team. So
yeah,
he definitely is a name to be mentioned there. And second would be Rodrigo De Paul. So Udinese didn't do much significantly anywhere like where they could come up with the European places. Like they were just there, like floating a little above the relegation battles and just there. But without Rodrigo De Paul, Udinese's situation could have been much, much worse. So that is kind of the impact he had on the team. So single-handedly, he made Udinese noticeable. So that definitely makes him a very significant person in that perspective. So he deserves a mention. And third guy, I would say, like, again, on the same basis of weightage, For a team that didn't do that much well, it would be Dusan Vlahovic. So, like, again, it's the same argument as whatever it had for Udinese. Fiorentina, like, went somewhere around 10th, 12th. So, without Vlahovic, they would be, like, much below. Like, they would be just around 16th or 17th, and they could be just a point or two above relegation. So that is how significant those two players were. So, like, in a star-studded team, to carry the team, it's always, like, easy. Because the responsibility will be shared. So
yeah,
these two guys, to put their hands up and, like in a non-notice, I mean, in a not
rising
so significant,
to the occasion.
They were noticeable, like, pretty much. So that makes them very key performers in the season.
So if you have to choose one, who would your pick be?
Out of these three?
Yeah.
It would be Lukaku, obviously.
Lukaku.
Yes. Without Lukaku, Inter wouldn't be title winners, for sure.
And what do you say, Rohit?
I would like to add to the point that Sriram said. So Conte's whole system is set up on their defense, and once the team that they get into the opposition half, they would run up against a wall of their defenders, excellent defenders, and then they transition, that is, they counter attack, and the main point of their counter attack is Romelu Lukaku. So the main instruction of Conte to his defenders or midfielders, whoever gets the ball is passed to Lukaku. And Lukaku has been trained, he himself spoke about it, he has been trained in such a way that he can receive the ball with his back to the opposition goalkeeper. So he's so difficult to, you know, challenge off the ball for any defender, I mean, except maybe Dilip. Dilip is one of the best defenders in Serie A. I think it's so difficult to challenge him off the ball that he's always the center of that counterattack. He's always the center of their attacks. He's also their top goal scorer, and his partnership with Lautaro is what gave them the Serie A. And from AC Milan, I would like to say Francesi. Francesi has been our best player. I mean, I know people will say Zlatan Ibrahimovic, but Zlatan missed 50% of our, exactly 50% of our season. He missed 19 games in a 38 league games. But Francesi, he's played 50 games, including Europa League. And if you take the athletic data of AC Milan for the whole season, Francesi has always been the top. So he's run almost 11 kilometers every game. So he's played 37 games in Serie A. So 37 into 11, that is almost 300, 400 kilometers run. And he is, for our system, he is one of the best players. He initiates the press. He carries the ball. He starts counterattacks. So he's one of the most important players. And one underrated player from Serie A, I would like to say, is Simi from Crotone. I mean, he scored 20 good goals. He scored 20 goals. Yeah, he scored 20 goals when Crotone got relegated. I mean, he had a bad season, but he scored 20 goals. But since Crotone got relegated, his name won't come up as much. And I'm very surprised to see that no team is actually, mid-table or top-table team is taking an interest in him. The only team that has been linked to him is a Serie A B team again. So I don't know. I mean, his height is he's 208 centimeters. That's like 6'8". He's very tall. So he gives a lot of avenue. So I don't know why he's not. I think even we can go for Nicola Barella from Sassuolo, who has been a dark horse of this whole league. I think you can say Manuel Locatelli.
Locatelli, yes.
And from Atlanta, of course, I have to say Duvan Zapata. And Romelu Lukaku have almost the same characteristics. They are the center of the attack of their team.
Ganesh.
Yeah, they are beasts, actually. Romelu Lukaku and...
Very, very similar players. They're very similar players. Lukaku and Zapata, they're there to hold off. They're there to hold up the ball, get the runners behind. That is Gosen. For Atlanta, it is Gosen. And Malinowski. For Inter, it is Hakimi and Lautaro. So, they're very similar players.
All right. So, moving on to the second category that we are discussing today, that will be the manager of the season. So, as Rohit, you were speaking earlier, who would be your manager of the season for Serie A?
A little personal bias, I think, Pioli. but I think I'm a bit inclined towards Rob Di Zerbi. He doesn't have the resources that Conte or Pioli or even Pirlo or even Gasperini. Gasperini has been at Atalanta for 4 years. He's built a team in those 4 years. But Di Zerbi, he's in his first or second season at Sassuolo. He doesn't have he didn't have a huge budget. They are all you have to sell to buy. I mean, with a very substantial team and a very you could say mid-table defense, he's got them to Conference League qualifications. I mean, he has to play. They have to play the conference. Now he's left Sassuolo. He's going to die. Shakhtar Donetsk. So I think he has a good shout. Conte also will have a good shout for what he did.
Of course.
So yeah. I think even Ivan Juric from LS Varana has a good shout.
And what do you think, Ganesh?
For me as well, Di Zerbi is actually a good one, good candidate. I would say. The second one I would say is Conte. So like Antonio. The only disappointment with Conte is that they didn't do well in the Champions League.
Yes.
But yeah, with all the resources that he had, maybe he could have done even more better. But that's the only disappointment. But according, I mean, he had a very good group of players who can compete in any level. But still, that's why like I am rating him as the second one. And third one, I would say it's Pioli.
Yes. Japan Pioli.
But no Roma manager here, I know. but actually, like with respect to Fonseca, with due credits, actually he has done well for the low level teams. Like he has all the tactics spot on. But the thing is that I think he could still improve, like instilling more mentality into the team for the big games. So that was pretty lacking, and you could see in the team. And I mean, there were some rumors around, like there were some bust up between players and Fonseca. So, which was like could have been avoided. Maybe who knows it's true or not. But I would say like the only downfall would be that particular mentality which he was not able to bring during the big games. Else, I mean, if he had got that, he would definitely be in the top three for me.
Sure. And Sriram, what do you say?
Okay. I have to repeat the names, whatever they said, but I'll just add a little bit of perspective to all their names. At a three, it would be like Ivan Juric and Stefano Pioli joined for me. One, because the way Pioli came, it didn't come with optimism. There was too much skepticism around him, and there was much discontent also when Pioli was made permanent and was made to extend, because Ralf Rangnick was supposed to take up, and everyone thought Pioli was a sheer downgrade from Ralf Rangnick, whatever it was. And Pioli actually has a track record in Serie A. Whether it is good or bad, that is up for discussion. That is a separate point. But Ralf Rangnick, everyone thought it was like a pure upgrade. So when Rangnick was not coming, like there were doubters on Pioli. So to be there leading the table at Christmas, and to be there as winter champions, I think they were winter champions like until 19.
Yeah, we were winter champions.
Okay, so they were winter champions. So on that note, like as a dubious record for Milan since 1990, non-Napoli winter champion who didn't go on to win the league is Milan, by the way.
We had 20 plus injuries. Against Juventus, the match we lost 3-1, we had 7 starters out. We had to play a right back as the defensive midfielder. So, I mean, with that, I think Pioli actually deserves a lot more credit, because we never had a same 11 for around 10 games, I think. We kept chopping and changing every match. One starter will come, another starter will go. It was horrible. It was horrible. I think for that thing, I think Pioli deserves way more credit.
Yes. So, where was I?
Ivan Juric.
Ivan Juric and Milan were winter champions. So, where they are right now, when you see it's a third and they are around 12, 15 points behind Juve, behind Inter. So, that is expected. It's still overperformance by Pioli, the way things were stacked up against him. And the way expectations were too low on him in the first place. So that's one thing to credit. But the winter champions thing is a bad tag anyway. It's a tradition that almost 27 out of the 30 champions have carried on their form. But Inter were on a different mood once they got knocked out of the CL. Okay, so Ivan Juric, to add a little on him, so they came up last year, like they were promoted. Hellas Verona was promoted, and they had a similar kind of rise, similar to what Sheffield United had in Premier League. So out of the three teams that came up in Serie A as well as in Premier League, two of them were stereotyped or bandwagoned as entertaining attacking football teams, and the third team was called to be defensive and like old school. The old school team in PL happened to be Sheffield United. Old team school in Serie A happened to be Hellas Verona. And ironically, the other two in both the leagues got relegated, and only Sheffield stayed up and Hellas Verona stayed up, and both of them finished in top off. So Sheffield went on to become bad this year. That is another story. But Hellas Verona, they stayed where they were. They still finished, I think, 9th or 8th or maybe 10th. So that is still like huge effort for them. Like it's commendable work. And they don't have like any marquee or talisman player. So Juric takes all the applause for that. And he deservedly, he is joining Torino next season. So Turin Derby will be much more entertaining with him there. So another coach of the season contender should be Gennaro Gattuso. The way he made Napoli relevant. Like it was a rebuild after Ancelotti left.
Yeah.
So he it was a repair job for him. He cleaned all that up. He brought back winning mentality, and they were free scoring as well, like at a point of time. So that is there. But like the perspective changed because of their last two games. So if this podcast was recorded at the end of the 36th game, Gattuso would be the manager of the season for most of the people, because they would have...
If they had qualified for UCL.
Yes, they were well poised to finish second at even then.
Yeah.
So, and they've ended up like fifth. It's still like a margin of inches. Like,
yeah, the last
it's all within 1 or 2 points. Yes. So
exactly.
So that's how close it was. So that doesn't undo whatever Gattuso did for 2 years or 1.5 years.
Definitely.
Including Corona, that is. So he gets it. And obviously manager of the season would be Conte for me.
Antonio Conte, sure.
Yes. And it's not a blame on him. That he got knocked out of CL. But the moment he understood that he's going to EL, he made sure he told his player, this is my conspiracy theory, of course. He made sure he told the players, okay, do whatever you do, either finish second or you finish fourth. Never ever finish third. So that's what he did. He made sure the team finishes fourth, and then they went on an unbeaten run. That is history.
That's weird, but okay. So as we are talking, like on the subject of managers, I wanted to bring to your attention Andrea Pirlo at Juventus. What would your guys say? What would be your opinion on his first season at Juventus? Ganesh, you can start.
Okay, Pirlo. Actually, like he had a huge job on his shoulder, so. No one expected actually for Pirlo to take over Juventus initially. Mm-hmm. And like he had like all the players with him. Like maybe he didn't have the asked players, but maybe like he had some few resources. And like he was trying to build up some kind of system that would be effective for Juventus. And the players that he had. But the problem was that, I mean, what I felt was he wasn't able to fully communicate the whatever play he had in mind. And maybe since he is a newbie, maybe one or two seasons, he could have done a bit better. But see, it's too early for him to have such a huge job for me. With Juventus actually. So for me, like the main problem was the midfield setup of Juventus. So they didn't have the proper players over there. Maybe if they had some good players who can actually like help out on doing a good attack, that was barely dearly missed actually. So that was one of the reason. And Chiellini's injury for few of the matches. He was actually instrumental in many of the Juventus games. I mean, so far in previous season as well as the current season. But I would say these two are the things that were problem for Pirlo. But mm-hmm. yeah, the main thing was the way like he what I thought was like he wasn't able to tell or how to play a game and have a particular free flowing football which Juventus were used to do with the previous managers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very lacking with Pirlo. Maybe he was new. Maybe one or two seasons with a mid-table team, he could be able to bring out his best. That's what I feel.
Sure. So I think we should move on to the next category. That would be the signing of the season. So who, according to Rohit, would have had a really good first season at Serie A?
Signing of the season, very tough one. I think Hakimi.
Okay.
I think Achraf Hakimi has to be the signing of the season. Last season what Inter lacked the most was not a wing back, two wing backs. They lacked two wing backs. It was Ashley Young and Victor Moses also was there. But in Conte's system, a right wing back is very important. So they spent 40 million on Achraf Hakimi. And Hakimi was one of their most important component in their transitions. He would get the ball, and with his mad pace, he would run at the defenders and he would put it to Lukaku, and Lukaku could score. So I think definitely Achraf Hakimi has to be the signing of the season.
The Hakimi is yours. And Ganesh, what about you?
Maybe like I can tell for Roma, I would say it's not kind of signing, but in a new found actually, Ebrima Darbo. He was from the youth. His story was actually inspiring. When he actually was a refugee, so he traveled all the way to Italy, and he joined Roma youth, and he was able to bring up his confidence. Was able to play very well. How bad the situation was before, and he was actually helping out our midfield in the absence of Veretout.
Mm-hmm.
The Veretout and Diawara, they were actually the main focal point of Fonseca system in the midfield. So I would say after Veretout's injury in Manchester, one of the Manchester leg, he was actually he played with a lot of confidence. Even the starters, they didn't have that confidence when they played against Manchester United. He was very free-flowing and he was very confident in playing that. So, I would not say it is a signing, but it's kind of newfound talent. I hope Mourinho would actually use him. So I'm not sure he is fond of playing youth players, but at least he would have watched what he played for the Roma games, and he would have already noticed his talent. So I hope he plays as a starter in all the games. So that's
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
So I would say like Darbo is actually the player, I mean, signing of the season, or what I would say.
I wanted to say that our next category was new talent in the season, which I guess you answered just now.
Okay. But it's okay. I was not getting any names. So, like, I thought, I mean, for me, as Roma fan, for the recent, we didn't have much of, in the winter transfer market, we didn't have much movement in the buying players. Mm-hmm. But with the injuries, great extent of injuries we had, so actually, players did well. Like Cristante was able to do well in the central defense whenever he called upon. And when Veretu and Diawara all were injured, Darbo was like, he was the focal point and he played all the games, last four games in Serie A. So yeah, I would say he is the signing of season. Maybe he would be shining even brightly in the next season.
That's great. Sriram, what about you?
Signing of the season. Yep. So, already Rohit answered that it would be Hakimi. So, I would say it should be Federico Chiesa.
Yes, I'm surprised nobody thought of Chiesa.
I think even Tomori has a good shout, but he was signed in January.
He was
very instrumental in our defense. I mean, we kept 5 clean sheets at the end of the season. 5 consecutive games, 5 clean sheets, and 2 of them came against Juventus and Atlanta. I think even he has a good shout. I think even Chiesa is also one of the signings of the season.
Definitely. Our next category was new talent, where I guess Ganesh has already answered his. So I'll move on to Sriram. What would be a new talent, a new discovery in Serie A this season?
It's not a new discovery because he already had his debut in the previous seasons. But
yeah, that
this
would
be being his, this is his breakthrough season, like for two of those guys, where they emerged as like full-fledged starters and they made their names. One would be Vlahovic, obviously, and second will be Bastoni.
Tony, that's a good shout. Rohit, what about you?
Like Sriram said, I think Dusan Vlahovic, he scored 9 goals last season at the age of 20. I mean, Serie A is not a very kind league to the younger strikers. I mean, you can see that in Serie A, they always peak at 30s. You can see Cristiano Ronaldo, Ibrahimovic, Quagliarella. Then you had Luca Toni in the 2000s. So they all mature and peak at the age of 30s. I think Dusan Vlahovic, one particular find I think that very few people noticed, but since the team did not perform, I think it is Wilfred Tsingo of Torino. He's a right wing back. I was very impressed by his games. He's 190 centimeters and he has a lot of pace. I think if he can play a good game, I mean, if he can go to a better team, I think his qualities can be better harnessed. But this season, Torino is abysmal. And another new talent I could say is, that's it.
Okay. That's it. So I would like to go back to Sriram with the next category, that will be the redemption of the season. And this category has we are also doing this for a team and a player, which team redeemed itself or which player redeemed itself. So we'll be doing both. So Sriram, who would be your picks?
So first player, it would be Shalanoglu, because he came with much higher expectations and like he had much of a lukewarm season until last year. I mean, not so high, not so bad, kind of like he'll perform some days, he'll be completely switched off on other days. I mean, he still had bad games this year, but at least the level of showing up, It improved. Like it directly showcased in the results of Milan also. Like Shalanoglu's performances, it directly reflected on Milan's performances. So that way he had a good redemption arc, I would say.
In
terms of team, I have to go probably with Fiorentina.
Fiorentina.
Yes.
And what about you, Ganesh?
Yeah. So for me, it's Spinazzola. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think most of you guys know, like, he was not up to mark in Juventus, and like and actually when Fonseca, when we got him, actually he was actually the best attacking threat for us, and he was actually revived completely by Fonseca, and he came into the Italian national team.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's Spinazzola, and for me the team it is maybe Sassuolo. I mean, they were on and off, but yeah, I mean, they were able to play some good games here and there against some best teams, and like their actually their free flowing football is actually which everyone loved to see. So I mean, they were actually dropping few points here and there, but they were able to get that up, even though like they don't have much good players. But for me, like, yeah, it's a solo.
So Rohit, what would be your picks?
For me, the team obviously has to be Sassuolo. I mean, last year they were, like Ganesh said, they were on and off. But this season they had a tactical identity. They stuck to their plan. They had some few good players, even players like Raspadori, Berardi, Locatelli, Boga, Juricic all come out and perform. They had an okay defense. If they had a better defense, I thought maybe they could have even finished fifth or fourth. But I think Sassuolo from last season, they have redeemed themselves and they finished very, very strongly. And if it has to be player for me, it has to be Simon Kjær, I mean, our defender. I mean, if you look at Simon Kjær's whole career, he has been very, he has been an on and off player. But I think this season, he has been one of the best defenders in the league. He has been one of our best players. I mean, if you ask me who are your best players, I would say Kessié and Kjær. So I think Simon Kjær had definitely redeemed himself a lot.
I'm surprised a lot.
Yeah, Sriram.
Yeah, I want to add one more team on that. Sure. Another team who had kind of sort of a redemption, not that they were noticeable with their performance. It should be Sampdoria, actually.
Sampdoria.
Yeah, they too showed up like much, much better than what they used to be before, like the past year.
Yeah, actually, like in the end, toe end of the league, like they were actually battling for relegation. Then they redeemed themselves and they were able to get past that. I think Ranieri did a good job.
After Ranieri, yeah.
Yes.
I'm really surprised when nobody mentioned AC Milan, who qualified for UCL after 7 years.
Because the standards have been high. Shouldn't be considered.
No, I mean, after that blast we had after lockdown, we AC Milan fans kind of predicted that we would have a good season. I mean, we didn't think we would overachieve, but we were sure we would have a top four season. I mean, we were beating teams 4 and 5. We beat Bologna 5. We beat Lazio, the Olympico 3-0. So we beat Juventus 4-2. Coming back from 2-0, so we were kind of sure we didn't think we would be at first, but we were sure we could be top four, like the fourth or third. So that's why I didn't mention AC Milan.
Well, it's okay to be biased, by the way.
Maybe like adding to that, maybe if Zlatan Ibrahimovic, if he was fit for, actually like half of the games that he was out of injury, right? So out with injury. So maybe if he had at least been for 7 more games, they would have given a tough fight.
We actually bought a striker called Mario Mandzukic, and he was also injured for the season. He's also a serial winner with Juventus, but I mean, he's also won a Champions League with Bayern. But even he was also injured, so that it was a very bad time for Milan, that January to April period.
So, who according to you would be an underrated team slash player this season, Rohit?
Underrated. I don't know. Maybe I can say Atalanta. If I'm looking at the whole broad term of Europe, I think Atalanta are very underrated since they don't have a very specific player, like a star player. Like you can say Cristiano Ronaldo and Chiesa for Juventus, or you can say Lukaku for Inter, or you can say like if for AC Milan, Zlatan and Kessie. But for Inter, I mean, for Atalanta, they are always, they're never expected to be in the top four. There are, but they have a bad start, but they crawl their way back and they'll somehow qualify for the Champions League. That's how they've been doing it for the last two seasons. An underrated player, I think, I wanted to mention one player earlier. I think you can go for Damsgaard of Sampdoria. He has been one of their best players. And one more underrated player is Belotti of Torino.
Okay.
He banged in 15 or 20 goals this season, but they scraped in the relegation fight. So again, his contribution didn't come as much. Like I said, Simia of Crotone earlier, but he is also a really good player.
Over to you, Ganesh. Who would be your underrated team slash player?
Underrated team, I would say, maybe Sampdoria. So, actually, like, they have some kind of, like, building team, actually. So, they could have done better, but I feel that Ranieri had brought back their confidence since he took over. And I mean, they could have done better, even more better, if he had been appointed even before. So that would be my choice. And underrated player for me is from Roma, Veretout. So
yeah,
like, yes. So he is actually like not noticeable during few games, but he actually like starts off all the counter attack for Roma. And he has already always done a very good job whenever, he even in the defense or starting off with the counter attack and scoring penalties. So I would say it's very good.
And over to you, Sriram.
I would like to add one more name. Sorry, Sriram. One player which has been underrated for seasons is Joao Pedro of Cagliari. He regularly hits 10 goals, 10 to 15 G plus A every season. But I don't know, every team seems to overlook him. I mean, he's been doing it for 3 seasons in a row. He was very important for their relegation survival this season. He hit form at the right time. So I think he's also a very underrated player.
Right. So, Sriram, who would be your underrated pick?
So first underrated team would be, like, we've been talking so far, what, 30-40 minutes? So we talked about every possible team that is there, but we missed talking about one team. We talked about numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and number 6, 7, 8, and so on. Number 5 was spoken about. Number 6 was sadly missed. So it's Lazio. So they were like silently doing like whatever they have been doing. And
yeah,
among the top 6-7 in Serie A, now Lazio has the worst or the weakest squad strength. It's kind of, they have a non-existent second level, or even whatever they have, Simone Inzaghi would refuse to actually play them until it is like really necessary, until the first player is actually out and burnt out. So that kind of bench strength is what they have. So with that, they actually showed up. They went to CLQFs, I think. They got eliminated by Bayern, I suppose.
Yep.
So, they have been like showing up for the last 3-4 years easily in league as well as in Europe. Like whenever Lazio played, like extraordinary performance, it's not there, but they don't have like complete bottle jobs and like shameful exits. They never had it. So they always kept making themselves relevant in Serie A. So that way, they didn't receive that much applause even in that aspect. So that is one thing. And their players are not underrated. Like Lazio, even though as a team, they are like appreciated less, their players are noticed enough. Like almost everyone in their first 11 is pretty well known. So I would not say their players are underrated. But when talking about underrated players, like as individual standalone players, I would actually say it to be the wingbacks of Hellas Verona. So just after Atlanta, Hellas Verona actually has the most productive plus the most synced up, the ones with the best chemistry in terms of link-up play in Serie A, Farauni and Di Marco. So both of them, they are, it's not just underrated, they are unnoticed. I would just go like one more level higher and say like no one even knows them, knows who they are. So that is the level of rating they get. And the player, like since Rohit mentioned João Pedro, I would add one more player from Cagliari. So it's their RCM, Junior Messias. I mean, he's not a CL quality kind of player, but he's good enough. Like maybe for a team that's consistently fifth or sixth in the league, he can play there.
Europa position.
Yes.
I think from Hellas, you can speak about Sakani. Sakani had a great season this time.
Yep.
And from Cagliari, one of my favorite players is Nathan Nandes. But he got Corona and he didn't have that kind of season he had last time. But he picked up towards the end.
So for the next category is disappointment of the season, both in terms of a team and a player. I would like to go with Ganesh first. Who do you think would be disappointing this season?
Okay. I would start with the players. So for me, I will pick one player from Roma. So it would be Maraš Kambula.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he was from Verona. Like we got him from Verona for about like around 25 to 30 million euros. But he was injured for a few games, but he had the potential to break through and get himself upgraded with the likes of Ibanez and Smalling. But whenever he played, I thought like, he was missing a lot of confidence in him, which he initially showed. But eventually, when the season went on, like he lost like his mental strength, and like he was lacking, he was like committing many mistakes. Like when you look at Roma game, all the Roma games, the main thing that comes to your mind is mistakes. So like everyone were doing some kind of mistake. I was really feeling bad for Fonseca. I would say like Kambula, he could have done more better, and I would say he was disappointment in terms of player. With respect to team, again, I would say Roma. So what I had felt is that If we had got that mental strength, like for the big games, we had the quality actually. But the thing is, like, the preparation for the big games was lacking. At least the disappointment for me from Roma was like, we were not able to show the aggressiveness or the fighting spirit during the big games. So that's why I would tell Roma that. So these two are my picks.
So Sriram, what do you say? Who would be disappointing?
Disappointment of the season. In terms of player, it would be Arthur. So for Juve, he was supposed to be their creative midfielder. He was signed for that purpose, and he was supposed to replace whatever Pjanic offered for all these years. So, I mean, Pjanic was hated by a sect of fans because their idol wasn't fed well by him. So that's. I mean, I don't want to go deep into that. So, but yeah, otherwise, Pjanic has his own legacy to live with.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, the way he left, it's bad, but still, he has done enough to prove himself as a great player. But Arthur was supposed to fill in that boots, which he definitely didn't. I mean, he may still, like, he can learn the trades and he can become one of the best central midfielders in Serie A, but at least for now, like, whatever they paid and whatever they expected from him, he didn't even justify 20% of it. That's what I would say. And disappointment of the season in terms of teams, it should be Benevento. So okay, much was expected from them with Filippo Inzaghi coming up. They had a great season last year, like with a record kind of. They swept the title and they came with much noise and much style. And with all the focus that was on Inzaghi, and they were expected to play that brand of football. They did for a few games, but they couldn't keep the results consistent. So they went back. They are relegated again, but I expected them to stay up at least for one more year. So they would be the disappointment of the season for me.
What about you, Rajiv?
For me, disappointment of the season teams, I have two candidates. One is Fiorentina. I don't think Sriram will agree with me. But when I first, before the season started, when I saw their squad and their signings, they had Kouame. He was an extremely good player at Genoa. They had Dusan Vlahovic. He was a bright prospect. They had Ribery. Then they had Chiesa, who left. They had Amrabat, Pulgar, Castrovilli. They had a really good team. They had Bonaventura also from Milan. So they had a really good team. Their defense was not that great. But I think when you're comparing to Hellas Verona and Sassuolo, on paper, they had a better team than them. And they finished very low. They finished. They were in a relegation fight until 36th or 37th match day. So I think that was one disappointment. My second candidate, again, Sriram may not agree with me, is Napoli. I mean, when you look at Napoli's squad depth, they have Mertens, Insigne, Lozano, Osimhen, Algero, Elmas, Politano. They had six Serie A starting quality attackers as their forward line, still they could not get to fourth place. Above Atlanta, even their midfielders, they have Zielinski, they have Fabian Ruiz, they had Bakayoko, they had Lobotka, they had Diego Demme. They were all Serie A starting quality midfielders. Their defense is also a very top one. Yes, Napoli always has this mentality issue where they bottle it towards the end. I mean, in 2017-18, they were leading Juventus by 1 point and they bottled it in the second last round of the season. So they have that a little bit of bottling mentality even with Sarri. Now they just had to win and they couldn't win against Hellas Verona side, which didn't win for a month. They haven't won or even drew for a month. So they threw away their Champions League qualification. For player, I have two candidates again. One has to be Gaetano Castrovilli. I really had high expectations for Castrovilli. I thought he would be one of those attacking midfielders from Italy who would like, obviously not as like Francesco Totti or Del Piero. He would, you know, he would be that technically good midfielder who would grow into that number 10 role that he had done really well last season, but he didn't do that. And one more is Gianluca Scamacca. Scamacca was one of the candidates we AC Milan had seen to come as a backup for Zlatan Ibrahimovic owing to his height and his holder play, but I didn't see anything great from him at Genoa. Maybe if he goes to a better team like Sassuolo, he is a Sassuolo player on loan to Genoa, he can do better. But this season he barely scored 5 or 6 goals. He's not shown any potential.
I would like to ask, like all of you, this is an open question. How would you? What's your opinion about Paulo Dybala's season? Everyone, like earlier, Paulo Dybala used to be the one, like one star player for Juventus. He was consistent, even selected for the national team, which he hasn't this time, and has largely been unnoticed, if I may, throughout the season. So, how would you guys rate him?
Shall I go?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, so I have two points for this. The first point was 2017 was the last time Juventus reached a Champions League final. And 2017-18 season, Dybala had 22 goals that season. He was their top scorer. Higuain was second with 20 goals. So Dybala was the player, the center of Juventus' whole attack. I mean, their whole team was slowly getting built around him. But Juve's DNA is all about being that team which leans on defending better and counter-attacking. That is their whole DNA since Marcello Lippi and Trapattoni in the 80s and 90s. They wanted to change that trend. They wanted to play better attacking football. They tried to bring in Cristiano Ronaldo for 300 million, including his salary. And they spent 300 million on him. They brought him. And what happened was it uprooted Dybala from that system. They changed the system to suit Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm not saying Cristiano Ronaldo underperformed or it is his problem, but Juve changed their entire system so it suited Cristiano, but they didn't have enough players to suit him. And slowly, slowly, Dybala was getting phased out of the team. Coming to this season, I was watching Juventus with Milan, the game which we won 3-0. That game lacked a playmaker. They needed somebody to attack, to connect the midfield to their attack. Morata was acting like a number 9 and Cristiano Ronaldo was staying left wide. He was not coming into the center, which he has to do. And I don't know why Pirlo didn't bring on Dybala much earlier. I mean, that was one naive thing that he did. Why I feel he was not suited to be Juventus' coach. Dybala was coming on after we scored the second goal. And once Dybala came, they had 3 shots. One was on target as well. So he changed that game so easily, but he was that playmaker which could have acted as that link between that attack to defense, but I don't know why he didn't come. Last season he got Corona, and after that he had some injury issues. I think that may be one reason. Or if it is tactical issues, I think then that is completely the fault of Pirlo.
Well, as you mentioned, Cristiano Ronaldo, so I guess we all can agree that the level that Cristiano Ronaldo plays, the kind of results that Juventus has brought to him is not something which he would have desired. So, and also we all can agree that Cristiano Ronaldo has been a really good reason why a lot of people have paid some extra attention to Serie A, if I may. So, if Cristiano Ronaldo ends up being disappointed or ends up leaving Juventus, so how would you guys who do not technically support Juventus, how would you guys feel about this?
Personally, I would say advantage Juventus. If Cristiano leaves, that that frees about 60 million in 1 year for them. He's on a 60 million wage with tax. Massimiliano Allegri, who's their new coach, does not need individual star players in his team. He's more about systems. And actually, I don't blame Cristiano again for this. I think UEFA's whole strategy to bring Cristiano is flawed. It was completely flawed. Cristiano is well past his age. He was 32 or 33 when he joined. I mean, at Real Madrid, he had Modric, he had Kroos, he had Gareth Bale, he had Isco, he had Benzema. He had a whole support cast there. But here, he was the sole. He was the one who had to create the chances. He had to score. But at his age, he's not for it. And Dybala was not suited to the system that Cristiano was suited for. So it was a mismatch. They didn't support him. They didn't bring the midfielders. They tried to bring in a whole bunch of midfielders for free, like Rabiot and Ramsey again, who are good players, but they are not the champions of Juve. I mean, that kind of material. So I don't think it is a Juventus problem. But if Juve were to sell Cristiano Ronaldo, I think it would take a big hit on Serie A's PR. I'm even worried that they may even cancel Serie A in India. They had a huge viewing, I remember before Cristiano came, very few man, even some AC Milan. I mean, there was one even AC Milan Roma game which they didn't show on TV. They were showing a 2002 West Indies versus India cricket match highlights. They were showing that instead of AS Roma versus Milan, which was a very good game. I don't know if it affects the TV's TV deals and their ratings. So advantage Juve, disadvantage Serie A. That's my take.
What about Ganesh and Sriram? Do you guys agree with Pro?
I would mirror him on some of the points which he told. I would give an answer for both your questions, like your last question and this is combined, because they are like interrelated. Yep. So thing is, Dybala is a misunderstood player, at least not from a coach's perspective, but like the image that he has set from the fans, even that is misunderstood. So I can see people calling Dybala as a central attacking midfielder, similar to Ozil, or like a right winger, because he used to play like that for Allegri, but there was a reason for it, which I'll actually explain. So like Dybala is neither a central attacking midfielder. He's not a creator in chief, or he's not a winger kind of. So both of those perspectives are wrong about him. He should be played as a primary goal scorer in a two-striker
in the front.
Yes. Okay. And that has always been when he was productive. Like when he has another player to offset the players are like for interplay, or those 1-2s are like for dragging the defenders away, all those kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like with another forward with him, he always excelled. And that is something where every coach, UA had 3 coaches in 3 years, and none of those 3 coaches, they had the voice, but they didn't have the courage to go and tell that to Cristiano Ronaldo. They cannot go and tell to Ronaldo, okay, Dybala is there waiting for you. You have to pass the ball to him. It's not going to happen. When he has the goal inside, he's going to shoot. He's not going to play a quick 1-2. I mean, it's not like he's going to like keep the ball for himself for the entire 90 minutes, but the percentage, the ratio at which he's going to have a cordial sharing mentality with Dybala, it's going to be much different than what Dybala was brought up playing with. He had Franco Vazquez at Palermo, then he had Higuain, and against popular belief, Higuain is not a target man. He's not an out-and-out striker. Higuain was, there are many fat jokes made about Higuain, but Higuain is anything but a fat man when he is on the pitch. His workaholic nature is second to none whenever he shows up on the pitch. And that, whether Higuain showed or not, Higuain's Higuain's work rate showed in Dybala's numbers, in fact. So that is how good they were as a strike partnership. And Allegri did one more thing regarding that right-wing part, which I was saying about. What he did was, on paper, he did play a 4-2-3-1 sort of. Okay. Where Mandzukic was kind of an offsetted left winger and Dybala was a right winger. But what it happened in theory was, it allowed Alexandro, their left back, to actually like surge up. So Alexandro kind of was touching the opposition attacking. He was at the edge of the box. And Mandzukic dropped back as the left center midfielder. So kind of he slotted in as the third midfielder alongside Pjanic. Yeah. So Mandzukic was winning all those aerial duels. He was winning all the balls back and tracking back. So Mandzukic offered so much physicality that allowed Dybala and Higuain to like rotate as a two. Even though they were like three at front, they were able to like rotate as two in the box between them. So that offered so much productivity to them in that way also. So these kind of factors, you cannot actually force someone of the stature of Ronaldo to do. So I don't blame Ronaldo, but Ronaldo is that kind of player that someone who is on his debut season below, he cannot go and say, okay, you have to do this and all that. So it's the general instruction would be like, okay, whatever Ronaldo plays, you guys go and follow along with him. Like you improvise after that.
Adjust along.
So that would, yes. So he cannot give a dedicated set of instructions to Ronaldo. So go and play this. So whatever Sarri was able to do with someone of Insigne or Mertens in terms of coaching, he cannot give those same instructions to Ronaldo. I mean, Ronaldo is not egoistic when listening to the coach. That is the second thing. I mean, it is up for debate. But he's a team player. He has a good rapport with many of the players in the squad. But to bring up the courage for a coach, that itself is bad. Like, it's like whether Ronaldo accepts or not, it's a secondary
question.
There
would be some hesitation on
the
coach's
side. There would be an hesitation on the coach's part itself to go and actually ask to Ronaldo that, like, you have to do this. And yes, second thing, the PR of Serie A would take a hit, but it would not be that massive of a hit, I think so, because they have built up enough quality and reputation. And in terms of their recent results, they have shown enough in terms of PR. Yes, the Ronaldo fans would obviously, they form a big part of the viewership. So that would reduce. But still, like Serie A can sustain the PR. But in terms of fluidity and in terms of tactical flexibility, yes. Without Ronaldo and with Ronaldo, it's no question. Like Ronaldo himself earns as much as the next 7 or 8 players combined for Juve.
Yes.
So that is kind of the finance that he's going to free up, if at all he leaves. So I'm not endorsing that he's going to leave, or so he may stay. Like I'm still like 75-25 in favor of him staying. But him leaving would not be that big a problem that people are assuming it to be.
And we are just discussing like, hypotheticals.
Yes. Like, and the main voice of him leaving comes only from the Ronaldo fans, not from the neutral. So that has to be understood also. So, that is still perfectly understandable because they were brought up viewing Real Madrid, so obviously watching a bunch of burnt out players who are like a massive decline in terms of their careers, so it would feel painful. So that's understandable, but the productivity of Juve in terms of feeding Ronaldo, it also had a dip. So like which season he actually joined, it's 18-19, right? So in 17-18, the rest of Real Madrid players scored around 105 goals, like except Ronaldo. And the next season without him, they were able to match that numbers. Like without Ronaldo, they scored 100, the rest. And after Ronaldo left, they were still able to score 100. But once Ronaldo joined Juve, the season without Ronaldo, Juve players, they scored 105 goals nearly, like all of them combined. But after Ronaldo joined, Ronaldo alone scored 35 goals. But the rest of the team, they just scored 55. So their productivity just went down like half.
Yeah.
Like from 105, they went down to 55. So that just shows like in trying to feed them, the others, they weren't able to take up their own free roles. So that is the kind of, it's a small thing, like when you look at it isolated, but each one cascaded into one another and it formed a giant result.
So on this note, I want to ask another like open question to all three of you. Where do you see the future of your respective teams in the next season? Or if you're in neutral, the whole Serie A in the next season, considering that there have been a lot of managerial changes, there have been a lot of exchanges, if I may, between different teams. And a lot of, as you have already said throughout the pod, that there have been a lot of personnel changes. The people whom you had rated highly, now they have even left their teams. So how do you see the front, like the top four of Serie A shaping up next season, and where do you see your respective teams fitting into Serie A next season? I would start with Ganesh.
So I would say I would start off with Roma first. So I mean, having Jose Mourinho hired, so it had already brought up TRP. So it's like kind of boost for everyone. Or also like there is a huge expectation. I mean, considering the toxic environment in Roma, you know, like always negativity will be there. So I am expecting top four finish for us. I mean, taking into consideration that he has got the players that he asked for, we are actually still not sure like how Friedkin and Thiago Pinto is working on. I mean, it's kind of mystery so far. So maybe like only time will tell us. But top four, maybe in fourth, I am expecting Roma to finish. And I would say currently I would first it can be Inter Milan, maybe I'm not sure like Inter can be, because like they are there are some rumors their players are leaving, right? So I mean, because of some financial stability, so maybe I think it should be AC Milan have a good shot in top three. And the second would be Napoli, if they are able to hold on their players. Third or fourth, Roma can finish if we are able to bring the players, Jose Mourinho asks for. And maybe Lazio, maybe coming in. If they are able to get their squad gelled. I mean, they need to have their bench strength, which is still lacking the whole season, whole last season. If they get their the second choice players, they would be able to be in the top four.
Oh, how about teams like Juventus and Atalanta?
Juventus, they have a good shout. Like, how did I miss it? Okay, Juventus, like, since Allegri is coming in, right? So, they have a good chance of reviving Dybala. If Ronaldo stays and he can link up both Dybala and Ronaldo, that would be a very good thing to watch, actually. I mean, if they can link up well. And Atlanta, we already know how Gasperini works in Serie A. So, like, it is going to be a tough season, actually, for the top four. But, yeah, I mean, with coming in these two teams, like, I would say first will be Milan, AC Milan. Second would be Atlanta. Third, it can be Juventus or Roma. Fourth, it can be Napoli.
Great. And what about you, Sridhar?
Okay, I would like to clarify one thing here. I mean, this is going to agitate both of them. So I'm not like a genuine neutral. So I'm more inclined towards Juve. So there's going to be that. So I would wish they get back to a little bit of relevance. Yes, I agree. It's it made it boring for other people, like who's been watching, like who's been expecting changes and expecting some kind of thrill. So to wait for US failure, I saw like that there is no middle ground when it comes to UA. Like, there are more haters to UA than there are fans for them. So that is what I have been noticing. So yeah, too many people were actually waiting for them to fall. So this fall was a good wake up call for them. So yes, I expect them to bounce back with Allegri. He will set things. You'd set things right, and I don't expect them to be like immediate title challengers, but yeah, like results ahead of entertainment. That is what it would be. So, like, I don't think Inter can actually sustain like whatever Conte did. He had what a 13-14 point lead. So with Conte gone and maybe like a couple of players at least, which I expect them going away, I expect that 14 point lead to come back maybe to a 2-3 point lead. So that is the level of difference the coach and two players leaving would make. So even if Inter continues to give the same kind of performance, it's going to be like a 2-3 point difference between whoever is going to be the chasing pack. So, and when it comes to that, I still don't expect them to hold to their nerves. So those 3 points can go either way. And if Atlanta and Milan keep doing the things that they've been doing right for the last, Milan for 1.5 years and Atlanta for 3 years minimum. So I expect both to be there in terms of title challenge. So I expect the same top four, but kind of with order changed. So it could be like, it could be anyone's opportunity to grab it out of that four. So Napoli, it may be like they would be able to catch up the weakest out of this four at the max. I don't think they would be able to jump all four of them at the same time. So out of this four, one of them is bound to fail at some point. So Napoli can catch up on them. And Roma, I mean, it's still early days on Mourinho. I won't bet my money on him based on what I saw of him in Tottenham. So I would still wait for him. But Mourinho is really good for Serie A. I mean, Mourinho is good for Serie A. He's not yet good for Roma. That is what I would say. Like, Mourinho's presence on the sidelines, Mourinho's presence on the cameras, it's going to bring people in. It's going to bring discussions in. It's he wins, there are going to be memes. He loses, there are going to be memes. He makes a press release, he's going to, for every statement that he makes, there are going to be memes and hundreds of posts on it. So that Mourinho will bring. He is the blockbuster man. So like whatever Ronaldo has been in terms of PR, Mourinho's PR is unmatched in that. In terms of his fans or in terms of the negativities he brings. And all publicity is good publicity. So even with his haters, there are going to be more eyes looking at Roma now. At least like people were waiting for UA to fall. Now people will be waiting for UA and Roma both to fall. So there's going to be that. So
that was a really good shout.
Yeah. So, but I don't genuinely think Roma will knock top four. They will get top six. And maybe if Mourinho is really interested, they may nick the Conference League title. The first winners of the Conference League, probably. Juve lack European winner for what? 11 years and a secondary European competition since 1999. They haven't won any. So this would be a good year if Mourinho can actually win this.
They might get to face his old team, Tottenham, over there.
Possible, yes.
So, Rohit, on to you.
I think this will be one of the most competitive Serie A since maybe the early 2000s. I think Massimiliano Allegri is a very clever coach and he genuinely has a really good team. I think what he's missing is one good centre-back and one good defensive midfielder to make this a complete team, with or without Ronaldo. I mean, Chiellini and Bonucci are not at their, they're not at their strength anymore. He has Demiral, but Demiral is always injured. So, I mean, Demiral is one of the really best defenders in Serie A when he's not injured. De Ligt is already the best. At 21, he's already one of the best defenders in Serie A. I mean, for what he plays, for his style of play, I think, with Chiesa, Dybala, Ronaldo, Kulusevski, Morata also, they are keeping Morata. I think Juventus have the best squad on paper to challenge for the title, and I think they're easily there. I think coming on to Inter Milan, I mean, one of the most underrated aspect of Conte is his man management. He has that fire inside him that keeps his team going. There are already a lot of gifs and memes that show Conte getting angry at his players, at his coach. He has that man management aspect of him that can put fire into his place. That is not what Simeone Inzaghi has. Tactically, Conte and Simeone Inzaghi are very similar. They use three at the back. They have a striker who is good at linking up play in Immobile and Lukaku. They have a very good right wing back in Lazzari and Hakimi. Tactically, they are very similar. But man management aspect, I am not very sure of Simeone Inzaghi. And of course, there is a talk about many players leaving Inter Milan to make up their balances. So I cannot say. Then coming on to Napoli. Napoli for me has the second best team on paper in terms of depth. And Luciano Spalletti, from what he has, he's a very shrewd manager. He's a very experienced manager in Serie A. He has his ability to make best of what he has.
Hey, just to interrupt, I think we have the most right person to talk about Spalletti, the other side of the call. The Roma fan should be talking about him. Finished like five, six years in second place for them. So Spalletti was Roma DNA through and through, in terms of coaching at least.
Yes. I completely agree. Like, he has a very good attacking kind of thing. I think you guys already know we had Totti by that time. So, and also like we had a good defense like most of the games. But the only cases where we were not able to get the final things done. Against Sampdoria, which we would lose at the final game, where we could have gone and win the Scudetto. I think 2009 or 10 season. I don't remember exactly. But Spalletti has like a very good tactical. He's a very good tactician actually. He plays like mostly 4-2-3-1 or 4-2-1-3. But he was actually well known for his magical football. That's what we call during his Roma tenure. So yes, thanks for bringing it. Sure. But anyway, like we don't actually hate he being in Napoli, but like we don't wish him like well. Actually, yeah, let they finish below us.
So Rohit, how does your top four look like finally?
Yeah, so I was coming to Spalletti. So Spalletti has a really really good tactics, and Roma were last won their trophy under Spalletti in 2006-07, that Coppa Italia. So they have a good team. Then I'm coming to Atalanta. Atalanta also has a very good team, and their coach is Gasperini. For Milan, my jury is out on Milan, because we don't have, I mean, even though we scored a lot of goals, our attack is still very not good enough yet. I mean, so depending on where how we sign players in the transfer market, I think then maybe we can have a conversation on where Milan would finish. Roma, Roma appointed Mourinho. He is not tactically fit for their style. I mean, one of the most important things for Mourinho is good centre backs, and they have only Mancini and Kumbula. Kumbula was not that good this season. So I mean, like Sriram said, any publicity is good publicity.
We have Smalling. We have Smalldini.
Smalling.
Smalldini. Smalldini is there.
Hey, actually, Roger, need to bring is like. Fonseca first season was actually a hit, I would say, because of Smalling's defense. So he had actually proved himself like coming termed as a flop in Premier League.
United.
And then he joined Serie A. Like he did pretty well. And Fonseca was like building him he was the focal point of the center back, actually. Anyone who played along with him, he made them look better. So when Smalling got injured, our defense got crumbled. So there was some kind of instability, like getting the right chemistry or combination. So that was lacking, actually. If Smalling can, if he is fit and if he can play the major part of the season, I think the defensive problem would be sorted out.
Also, I think Lazio actually has a very good team, but I'm waiting for who they appoint as a coach. If they are bringing Sarri, if Sarri comes, I think it will be a disaster for them, because this team is completely, it has been playing completely anti-Sarri. They've been playing three at the back, and Sarri is a coach that plays on patterns. His team takes at least minimum 6 months to learn that patterns. We saw that with Chelsea. And even Sarri ball chance around, but in the end they started getting that that combination, that pattern play, and they won that Europa League. So if Lazio is going to appoint Sarri, and Lazio don't have much resources, if Sarri wants a player like Jorginho, he thrives on a player like Jorginho. So if they want a regista in the middle for his 4-3-3 Sarri ball, I think it'll be very difficult. So Lazio, I'm waiting. There is a talk of Walter Mazzarri is a coach who plays a 3-5-2. So if he is appointed, then even Lazio has a good chance. For me, I think Juventus wins the title. Second would be Napoli or Atlanta. Third would be between Napoli, Atlanta. Third and fourth would be between Napoli, Atlanta and AC Milan.
So on that note, we will end our season in review for Serie A. And thank you all of you. Thank you, Rohit, Ganesh and Sriram, for coming today. And thanks for your time. And I hope our audience stays safe. And this is it from my side.